broadcasting 24-7 from the bucolic campus of Hampshire College in the rolling hills of Amherst, Massachusetts, this is YURT, your radio for Hampshire College and beyond. Stay tuned for more news, music, arts, and information here on Hampshire College's own YURT Radio.
Be with you for the next half hour or so. If you're new to the show, first of all, welcome. And second, let me tell you a little bit about what you're going to be hearing tonight. This episode of North American Psychotherapy is part of a series of monthly radio shows that I'm producing as part of my Division 3, or senior thesis, at Hampshire College. Tonight's episode is the first of two on the theme of rebellion. This follows last month's theme of home. It's a natural progression, I think. As young people in the United States, much of the rebelling we do in this country is against the places and people of our upbringing. And of course, the rebellion that was the American Revolution gave rise to this country and was against our parents, the British. At the time, many white Americans were practically still British, and only a few generations removed at most from the country they were rebelling against. In that vein, we'll be hearing a group of five short stories tonight, each dealing with situations of childhood rebellion against authority, teachers, parents, counselors, the like. Looking ahead, North American Psychotherapy will look at the current rebellious movement happening in this country, Occupy Wall Street. That'll be next week. Last month, I went to New York City and to check out the protests firsthand. I'm not completely impartial, but it seems to me that the Occupy movement is a type of protest that this country hasn't seen in a long time, maybe ever. And frankly, I think it's about time for this movement. So next week, I'll be playing sounds and voices from Occupy Wall Street. Stay tuned. Of course, with Revolution Rock from the album London Calling. Coming up, we've got five different stories about childhood rebellion from three Hampshire students. But first, I want to talk a little bit about my own rebellious tendencies, or lack thereof. I was always a good kid. I rarely got in trouble, and if I ever did something against the rules, I usually made sure that it was something small enough that would go unnoticed by authority figures. Of course, I got caught a few times, but almost always when I was collaborating with others. For example, as a fourth grader, my friends and I would frequently try to escape from recess at our school and attempted to stealthily get off of school grounds without the recess monitor noticing. We were never successful, though I'm sure we gave that monitor plenty of headaches.
Against the grain.
My senior class in high school played its senior prank on our last day by all showing up to school on wheels. Rollerblades, scooters, skateboards, and in my case, my sister's old Stingray banana seat bike. My friend James was on his fixed gear next to me, and together we made it into the central area of the school. There, in the middle of the crowds of underclassmen, we were chased down by our hall monitor, Orlando. Orlando had this really spiky black hair and always wore these pointy black leather shoes. James was quick on his fixed gear and escaped down a side hallway. But me, being only 2 feet off the ground on a bike made for a 7-year-old, was quickly caught by Orlando. I remember him grabbing onto my backpack while I continued to ride away, and he held on as if water skiing behind me for a few feet before yanking me back off of my bike and onto the ground. The Stingray got locked up for the rest of the day, but since it was my last day of high school, I got immunity at 3 o'clock. I never faced any consequences beyond that. I still graduated. But those rebellions were team efforts. On my own, I was never as successful in causing trouble. As a 12-year-old, I began to get actively interested in politics. This was just after 9/11 and just before the invasion of Iraq. Though I didn't know much, I knew the country was headed in a bad direction, and I knew I hated President Bush. I started drawing political cartoons, caricatures of Bush in the Oval Office wearing an oversized cowboy hat and saying incomprehensibly stupid things. I don't think they were actually that funny, but I felt rebellious making them. However, that feeling faded fast once I showed my parents, and they wholeheartedly approved. I was being creative, and I was interested in politics, and the comics reflected their own viewpoints. What could be better? A while later, I stepped it up a notch. I printed out a picture of Bush with a thick Sharpie. I wrote, "Unelected and money obsessed. How did this idiot become our president?" around his picture. Without asking my mom, I took her industrial stapler, made 5 copies of the sign, and put them up on lampposts around our neighborhood. On a morning walk with a friend a few days later, my mom saw the signs and knew that they were my work. Later, she told me how great she thought they were. Her friend thought they were great, too. I went on to make more anti-Bush cartoons, and buttons and bumper stickers and all kinds of things. I even started a political blog. But my mom found it, and she became one of the only consistent readers and comment writers. Most of her comments were to correct my grammar. Somewhere around age 15, I somewhat consciously decided to rebel against my parent-approved political rebellion. I stopped drawing comics. It didn't happen overnight, but pretty quickly I went from drawing almost every day to hardly at all. When my parents asked me why I didn't do it anymore, I said I didn't know. I just didn't feel like it. Which was true. I moved on to other things, other forms of expression, some slightly rebellious, but never too much. In the last few months, however, I've occasionally drawn some comics again. Never anything political, mostly just weird non sequitur stuff, and I've enjoyed it. And since I'm legally an adult and they're a thousand miles away, my parents don't need to see my drawings. Of course, they do still listen to this radio show, and they love it. Fuck. We'll be right back. is, of course, Rebel Rebel by David Bowie, ladies and gentlemen. Up next, three storytellers tell of their rebellions that were fundamental to their own development. Hampshire students Ryan Mahaly, Lauren Flinner, and Will Delphia are each talented artists, musicians, filmmakers, and all-around great people and very good friends of mine. Like most childhood rebellions, pretty much all of theirs were unsuccessful. But I found that it's rarely the outcome of a rebellion that's interesting. Usually, it's the rebellion itself. So, on that note, I'll hand it over to Ryan, Lauren, and Will. I'm calling this piece, My Tiny, Hapless Rebellion.
My name is Ryan Mahaly.
Okay, this is Will Delphia, and I'm going to tell two stories of rebellion.
My name is Lauren Flinner, and I am a rebel.
Okay, I have a few stories about rebellion. In second grade, my teacher, her name was Mrs. Gilmette, she was cool. She was special. She was different than a lot of teachers. And we would have spelling tests, and we would put shaving cream on the desks and like spell out the words, and everyone would get 100. And she was known for loving Beanie Babies. And so I, being a 7-year-old boy and wanting to rebel, I guess, against my teacher, we had another special spelling test where we were just handed like individual chalkboards, basically, that were like the size of a normal piece of paper, and we would do our spelling test. And on the top of that test, on the top of my little mini chalkboard, I wrote, "I hate Beanie Babies." And she saw that, and I was sent to the bench, where I was supposed to think about what I had done. And I don't know really why I did that. I think I was just trying to cause a ruckus, I guess, a mini ruckus, a mini second grade ruckus, and I was sent to the bench, and I was probably reprimanded, and then I went about my day. Even if it lasts an hour, with all my might, we'll try and make it ours, cause we're on our way, we're on our way to fall in love.
I have a rebellion story, I guess. It's not really a successful one. So I was in probably like third or fourth or fifth grade, one of those grades. And so, you know, in grade school, you have lunch and then you have recess, and like various neighborhood moms take on the duty of lunch mom and recess mom, where they just like make sure nobody fights each other and, you know, or gets hurt and stuff like that. And so there was one lunch mom who I will name. She is Mrs. Gripe. It's important to talk about her name because, like, what are the odds that her name would be Mrs. Gripe? And she would be, like, the bane of my existence in third or fourth or fifth grade, one of those grades. She had a daughter, and basically she would spend all recess pushing her daughter on the swing, and then yelling at anyone who did the same thing, basically. So, like, I wasn't allowed to push my friends on the swing because, like, I could get hurt or something. But she, being an adult, maybe, could push her daughter on the swing. But that's totally not fair because then her daughter gets to be, you know, pushed on the swing and she gets to go higher than everyone and, you know, she gets to have a lot of fun because she's hanging out with her mom during recess. But you know what? Not everyone's mom is a lunch mom, so not everyone gets to be pushed on the swing. And I just wanted to say that that's not fair. So we started a petition to get Mrs. Gripe kicked off of lunch mom duty because she was not a just lunch mom. We wrote up a little statement that was basically like, Mrs. Gripe is mean. She says we can't push each other on the swings, but she can push her daughter, and that's dumb. So you should kick her off of recess duty. And then I got like 20 people to sign it, which was a big deal. And then I turned it in to, I think I turned it in to my teacher. So apparently it worked its way up to the principal. The principal got the petition, and then I got called to the principal's office, and I was so nervous because I was like, wait a minute, this is serious now. I gotta like prepare myself. They're gonna question me. They're gonna like, obviously they're gonna think I was lying because, you know, the government, they don't trust the kids. They trust Mrs. Gripe. She's got the power. So I sat in front of her desk and she said, so it seems there's a problem with one of our recess lunch moms. What are your complaints? And I said, well, she's not fair. She's a bad lunch mom. And we want her to be kicked out of lunch mom duty. And basically the principal said, well, we'll talk to her and we'll see what happens. We'll let her know. So the principal probably talked to Mrs. Gripe and probably said, you know, some kids don't like you. And then she was probably like, okay, I don't care. And she kept pushing her daughter on the swings. And, you know, nothing changed. No recess policies were adjusted. So it was a failed rebellion. But I guess it was a good learning experience. And I guess a funny thing about this story is my principal eventually ended her career as principal and became a nun.
Childhood, my youth, was a pretty rebellious time for me. I never really appreciated authority. I had kind of a big ego and thought myself pretty smart, and all the adults around me seemed kind of dumb. So, but anyway, the first story I'm going to tell is from middle school. Basically, I attended a suburban middle school in Worthington, Ohio, pretty affluent suburb of Columbus, Ohio. The middle school I went to was called Kilborn Middle School, or abbreviated KMS. Toward the end of the 7th grade and through my 8th grade, a lot of us kids would try and figure out ways throughout the day to avoid doing what it is that we needed to do. So, like, if we were supposed to be reading or writing or paying attention in class, we would often try and find any activity that was not that. So this oftentimes took the form of online Flash and Java games. This was in like 2004, 2005. So this was sort of like when, you know, Java games and Flash games were kind of like the thing to do on the internet when you're a 15-year-old. We would try and find websites that were not blocked by Bess. Now, Bess was this dog that came up on the screen every time you went to a blocked website on their proxy server or whatever it was. I don't even know. It was like their, you know, safe web. Eventually, like, more and more of the sites that we went to with the Flash games were getting blocked by Bess. So I had the ingenious idea to, at my own home computer, to spend countless hours aggregating these games from other websites. I would like, find the source files somehow, download them, put them on my own server, and I made this website called Keep Me Stupid. It wasn't that I was necessarily anti-intellectual, it was, you know, that sense of rebellion, that idea that if the institution of middle school was there to educate us, then we didn't want a part of that. So keepmestupid.com was born. It also was like a pun on the name of the school, KMS, Keep Me Stupid, Kilborn Middle School, same initials. Yeah, so the website was hugely successful. It had like 500 hits a day for like a good year. I made about $100 from Google AdWords, and everyone at school was just constantly on the website. And at one point, they blocked me, and I just got around that by changing the domain name, Keep Me Stupid 2. Eventually, I put on a message board, or like a kind of bulletin board thing, that allowed people to anonymously post anything they wanted. And as one can imagine, that turned into sort of a space full of absurd and vulgar, hurtful things that people would comment about teachers, about other students, you know, kind of like what happens when you give people free speech and anonymity. Now, the school administration thought that that was not cool, and I at the time took a, you know, very kind of constitutional, purist, like First Amendment rights kind of perspective on it, saying, like, I know all this stuff on there is terrible, but who am I to censor it? Well, the principal, Mrs. Van Horn, was one to censor it, and she basically called me in and called my dad and was like, listen, you got to take this shit down, otherwise we're going to, like, I don't know, take some legal action or expel you, or I'm not sure. But I thought that was pretty bullshit, but eventually my dad made me take it down. So, website ended, but that was my digital rebellion.
I guess you can say my parents were somewhat strict. They had this security program on my computer that would automatically shut the internet down at 10 o'clock, and I was trying to chat with my friends on AIM or whatever, and they wouldn't let me do it. They also wanted me home by midnight pretty much every night, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to hang out with my friends past midnight. I'm going to pretend I'm going to go to bed, and I'm going to sneak out. So throughout high school, I would pretend to go to bed. My parents would go to bed, and I would sneak downstairs. And my garage had, like, a sort of a side door. Opening the garage doors would obviously be way too noisy. So I would sneak out that side door, and I'd leave the lights on. And often, I would sneak out on the weekends and hang out with my friends. And for the longest time, I didn't think my parents knew about this. But I remember one dinner with my family and some family friends were over. My mom casually mentioned, like, oh, yeah, Ryan, you're always sneaking out of the house. And I was like, what? How did you know about that? And I don't think I actually asked her. I just questioned in my mind how she knew. So I was rebelling against my parents' strict rules, but turns out they knew. So much for that.
I'm a Unitarian Universalist, or I grew up as one, or what have you. Unitarian Universalism is technically a religion. It's more like a liberal social club that gets together and sings. It's complicated. But anyway, I was really involved in the youth activities there, the youth organizing, the youth, Unitarian Universalist Youth Ministry, it was called. And every summer, there would be this thing called Summer Institute that was held at a small private liberal arts college in Ohio called Kenyon College. It's a campus kind of looks like Hogwarts, and it's beautiful. And so, like, for a week in the middle of the summer, about 1,000 Unitarians get together and, you know, kind of take it easy and go to workshops and feel great about themselves and make friendships. And as a young person, this was a great time because you were staying in dorm rooms and, you know, there was lots of alcohol and marijuana and sex and, you know, tons of things that were great when you were, like, a kid or a teenager even. One year, I think I was like 15, a different chapter in my life than the website, but not too far off. And a group of kids got together. I remember it was Josh and Zoe. And Josh and Zoe said to themselves, you know what would be great? What if we had a room in the dorms that was designated as a naked room for the entire time? Anyone's in there, you're to disrobe and just be naked. And so the naked room was born, and they wrote up a covenant or a list of ground rules to, you know, kind of set norms for the naked room, like, you know, it's not an erotic place, it's, you know, not a judgmental place, you're not supposed to comment on other people's bodies unless they bring it up first, you know, that sort of thing. I think, you know, don't make fun of people who get erections, like, you know, that happens, was one of the rules. So the naked room held its first meeting, and I did not participate. I was really kind of self-conscious and body conscious, pretty not comfortable with my body as a younger person. I was kind of fat and chubby and still had this complex about, like, you know, nudity and being private with that. So I was not a part. But after the first session of this, there was like 7 people in there. basically, the few adults that are tasked with making this run smoothly without drama got involved and, you know, tried to call an end to it. And what they ended up doing was expelling Josh and Zoe from the dorms. They had to go stay, like, with their parents somewhere else on campus. And, you know, this, to all of us, was an extreme injustice. And so I began a small rebellion, if you will. I was that year the editor of the kind of yearbook, which is, we called it the mug book. But it was like every summer you put photos and little quotes and your contact info in this thing that gets photocopied and sold at the end of the week. And so what we did is we organized a photo shoot or a portrait of all the people in the naked room. And we had them all together smiling, kind of defiantly showing solidarity, you know, in the face of this like drama and the scandal that was taking down the naked room. And so we took this full 8.5 by 11 photograph and kind of snuck it with us to the printer. And we were there with this woman named Sharon, who was like, kind of knew what was up. She didn't want trouble. And she wanted to, like, keep this under wraps. So, like, right before we handed it off to the printer guy, we slipped in the page in the back. And I think she might have saw us. So she, like, grabbed it and was like, what is this? She took the photo out, and she, like, totally called us on it. And it sucked. But we had a brief effort to commemorate this persecuted group of people who just wanted to be naked.
Revolutions per minute. This is my regular speed. So how do you want me to live with it? How do you want me to live with it? Without bringing all our lives, without overthrowing cars, without emptying the bars, without doing with your chores. 60 revolutions per minute. This is my regular need. So how do you want me to live with it? How do you want me to live with it? Doing all our lives without overthrowing. I'm gathering new generation that's gonna stand up to it. To this karaoke, karaoke dictatorship.
All right, that is Gogol Bordello with their song 60 Revolutions. And before that was, of course, Ryan Mahaly, Lauren Flinner, and Will Delphia, all fourth-year students at Hampshire College. They will each be doing their own Division III projects throughout the year, as they, I'm guessing, are already doing. And if you are in the area, I encourage you to check those out when they are made available to the public. I'd like to thank them again for volunteering their stories and their time. If you are thinking, hey, I like to tell stories, I want to hear my voice on the radio, then you should write to me at napshow@gmail.com. That's napshow@gmail.com. Our next theme will focus on wanderlust. If you've got a good personal story of a time you wandered, meandered, or explored anything, please let me know. Again, napshow@gmail.com. You can also like North American Psychotherapy on Facebook, or you can check out the blog that I've made for the show, which is napshow.wordpress.com. Again, napshow.wordpress.com. Love you so.
We are not leaders.
We are not leaders.
We are just helping to keep.
We are just helping to keep
the meeting on process.
The meeting on process.
So are there any concerns?
So are there any concerns?
I'm not fighting an old system, but starting a new one. The whole world is changing, and it's time to change with the world.
Mark your calendars, folks. Next week, a visit to Occupy Wall Street. That was a sample of the sound that you will be hearing next week. Wednesday, November 16th at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on Yurt Radio. Until then, this has been North American Psychotherapy. Stay sane, everybody.
In the midnight, moonlight, always end up copying me anyway.
No. Well, okay, so now I have to think of something else to say that you won't think of ahead of time, because the reason you can do this is because you know what I'm going to say next. So I have to think of a weird thing to say. Henry, make a show about science. Make a show about science, and we'll call it Radiolab. Sorry, I'm so caught up on Radiolab
today.
That's enough, I think.
You're listening to Yurt Radio.
All right, that was a little bit of stuff that happened between Lauren and Ryan when they were covering, or they were recording their stories the other day. And I want to thank them again for recording. Ryan and Will are here actually in the yurt right now, along with Aaron, hanging out to listen to the show. I've had some reports on Facebook that the yurt feed was coming in and out, a little bit during that. So I apologize. But I will have the recording of that whole storytelling segment if you missed it. You can shoot me a message through Facebook or email and let me know if you'd like to hear that in full. So, yeah, that was the whole fancy produce part of the show. And now I'm going to be hanging out in the yurt. I have my slot here as normal for the next 27 minutes. So if you got any requests, I think I'm just going to be, playing some music, farting around, what have you. So send in your requests, to Facebook or napshow@gmail.com. Until some requests comes in, I'm going to play some stuff that I feel like playing. I know I played this in the last like couple shows, but I'm really into the new Tom Waits record, and I'm gonna play the last song off of the record right now because I actually hadn't listened to it all the way through until last night. I'm sorry to say, but then I did listen to it all the way through last night, and then the last song I was like, whoa, where did that come from? And it's fun. So here it is, Tom Waits.
Your mother burst in, it was freezing. She said, it looks like it's trying to rain. I was lost, I felt seasick. You convinced me that he left. You said, keep talking, but don't use any names. I scolded your driver and your brother. Damn you, and someone broke my camera.
talking about?
Yeah.
Nuclear war?
Yeah.
Nuclear war?
Yeah.
Nuclear war?
Yeah.
Talking about?
Yeah.
Nuclear war?
Yeah.
It's a motherfucker.
It's a motherfucker.
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Talking about?
Yeah.
Nuclear war?
Yeah.
Talking about?
Yeah.
Nuclear war?
Yeah.
It's a motherfucker, don't you know? They push that button, fast got to go. It's a motherfucker, don't you know? They push that button, fast got to go. It's a motherfucker, don't you know? They push that button, fast got to go. They're talking about,
yeah.
Nuclear war,
yeah.
They're talking about,
yeah.
Nuclear war,
yeah.
They push that button,
if they push that button,
your ass got to go,
your ass got to go.
They're talking about,
yeah,
nuclear war,
yeah.
They're talking about,
yeah,
nuclear war,
yeah.
If they push that button,
if they push that button,
your ass got to go,
your ass got to go.
They push that button,
if they push that button,
your ass got to go,
your ass got to go.
It'll blast you,
it'll blast you.
So high in the sky,
so high in the sky.
It's gonna blast you,
it's gonna blast you.
So high in the sky,
so high in the sky.
Kiss your ass goodbye.
Kiss your ass goodbye.
You can kiss your ass goodbye.
Kiss your ass
you can kiss your ass goodbye.
Kiss your ass
they push that button.
If they push that button.
If they push that button.
If they push that button.
It's gonna blast your ass.
It's gonna blast your ass.
So high in the sky.
So high in the sky.
You can kiss your ass.
Kiss your ass.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Goodbye, goodbye.
They're talking about,
yeah.
Nuclear war.
Yeah.
They're talking about,
yeah,
nuclear war,
yeah,
radiation,
radiation,
mutation,
mutation,
radiation,
radiation,
mutation,
mutation,
radiation,
radiation,
mutation,
mutation,
radiation,
radiation,
mutation,
mutation,
fire,
fire,
fire, hydrogen
bomb.
Atomic bomb,
atomic bomb,
neutron bomb,
neutron bomb.
Kiss your ass,
kiss your ass.
Goodbye, goodbye,
goodbye, goodbye.
If they push that button,
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 if they push that button.
It's a motherfucker,
it's a motherfucker.
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
It's a motherfucker,
it's a motherfucker.
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
If they push that button. Push that button. Your ass.
Without your ass,
you got no ass,
you got no ass,
you lost your ass,
you lost your ass.
They're talking about,
yeah,
nuclear war,
yeah.
They're talking about,
yeah,
nuclear war,
yeah.
And mutations,
mutations,
and radiation,
radiation,
mutation,
mutation,
and radiation,
radiation.
If they push that button,
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 radiation,
radiation,
mutations,
mutation,
radiation,
radiation,
mutations,
mutation,
man's radiation,
man's radiation,
makes mutations.
Man's
radiation.
Man's radiation.
Makes mutation.
Makes mutation.
They're talking about,
yeah,
nuclear war.
Yeah.
talking about?
Yeah.
Nuclear war?
Yeah.
Fire!
Fire!
Melting!
Melting!
People!
People!
Buildings!
Buildings!
Bird crash!
Bird crash!
If they push that button,
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 it's gonna blast you so high,
it's gonna blast you so high,
up in the sky,
up in the sky.
You can kiss your ass,
you can kiss your ass.
Goodbye,
goodbye.
Farewell,
farewell, farewell.
Goodbye, ass.
Goodbye, ass.
Goodbye, ass.
It's a motherfucker.
It's a motherfucker.
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
It's a motherfucker.
It's a motherfucker.
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
It's a motherfucker.
It's a motherfucker.
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
It's a motherfucker.
Goodbye.
All right, that was Yo La Tango again. I think this has been a very Yo La Tango heavy show. I think that's the third Yo La Tango song that's been played tonight. But that was their cover of Nuclear War by Sun Ra. And we were hoping, things are going haywire in the yurt right now. There's a buzz in my headphones. It's really distracting. So I'm just going to take them off. Sorry. So there's a bee in here also. That's the other thing that's distracting. There's also three people behind me, Ryan, Aaron, and Will, who are all great people, and they're all here, and it's great. But I'm used to doing a show like all by my lonesome. So hold on. I'm going to just grab the other headphones. That was a request by Will. We were hoping that we would have the version. I think there's a different version that Yo La Tango recorded, which features our friend Max Rosenthal saying repeating the lyrics to the song, but as like a 10-year-old. So it's pretty funny. Do you guys have anything to say for yourselves? I mean, you've already spoken on the show. It's okay. I don't mean to put you on the spot like that. Ryan has nothing to say. Okay. I hope everyone's hearing this. What? Okay. I hope everyone's hearing this show. I think it's been going in and out. Some little glitch in the computer. If any of the Yurt signers are listening to this, maybe that's something that needs to get checked out. But there's another request that has come in from Mr. Jacques. It's Kavinsky, the song Night Call from the Drive soundtrack. I haven't seen Drive, but it's one of those movies. There's not many movies like this anymore, but it's one of those movies that I've talked to a lot of people who've seen it, and they're like, oh man, have you seen Drive? It's like really good. And like, that doesn't happen very often, I think, with like new movies that come out. So I guess I should go see Drive. But before I see Drive, I'm going to play a song from it. This is Kavinsky, Night Call.
Thank you.
songs a year. Don't want to hear. I'm gonna show you where it's dark, but have no fear.
There's something inside you. It's hard to explain. They're talking about you, boy, but you're still the same. There's something inside you. It's hard to explain. They're talking about you, boy, but you're still the same.
I'm giving you a night call to tell you how I feel. I want to drive you through the night, down the hills. I gotta tell you something you don't want to hear. I'm gonna show you where it's dark, but have no fear.
There's something inside you. It's hard to explain. They're talking about you, boy, but you're still the same. There's something inside you. It's hard to explain. They're talking about you, boy, but you're still the same. There's something inside you. There's something inside you. It's hard to explain. It's hard to explain. They're talking about you, boy, but you're still the same.
So that was Kavinsky with Night Call from the Drive soundtrack, which is a movie that apparently I need to see. Things are going on here. People hanging out in the yurt, people hanging out in the world. It's been a fun night. in case you missed the scripted show earlier, and produced thingy with some great storytelling by some great people, you can contact me and let me know if you want to hear that and you're listening now and you're like, darn, I just missed it. I can get that to you. So let's see. I got like 6 minutes left here. I want to play something. What do you guys want to hear? We already played all that. The one song, duh. Well, okay, so I like the theme of the show tonight was rebellion, so I was like looking for like rebel music and stuff, and so most of the songs in the show were in the scripted part were all, you know, had the word like rebellion or rebel or revolution in them. But I didn't play the one that's actually called Rebellion. Just want that's the whole title. No, that's actually not the whole title. There's Rebellion, in parentheses, lies, right? Yeah. Lies. Lies. I lied about the rebellion being the whole title. Okay, so gonna find it now. But yeah, it's been real fun to play stuff for you guys. So yeah, tune in next week. Again, next week will be another pre-recorded fancy little script thing, scripted thing. I'm going to be doing a piece about Occupy Wall Street using some sound that I went and got while I visited there and slept overnight there. So that'll be fun. And I think there might be some other stuff. You'll have to tune in and find out. Might be some cool surprises. But yeah, so until then, like this thing on Facebook, email me stuff. If you got story ideas, if you want to tell me what you think of this show, I would really love that's not a phrase. I would really love to hear about that. Anyways, I'm just going to play the music now. Oh yeah, and I feel like I haven't spoken about this enough on the show. I'm trying to keep up a blog that goes like in tandem with the show. And it's mostly just posts reminding other people, including myself, that there's a show on Wednesdays. But there's also sometimes other posts about stuff. Sometimes I like share videos and stuff. You know, like how bloggers do. Okay, so check that out. That's at napshow, napshow.wordpress.com. Until next week, have fun. Be good. Arcade Fire.